Welcome to the Purpose Podcast. I'm Dr. Wise, your host, and we are here to journey to purpose together. Today, I have with me Mr. Anthony Miller, who simply wants to be known as Krista's husband and Hannah and Wesley's father. How are you doing, Anthony?
I am great. How are you doing?
I am great. Do you know what you're here for?
I hope I'm going to find out here in a second.
I'm learning that I'm not really good at giving instructions. That's one thing that this podcast has taught me, is that I like to wing it. So I assume other people like to wing it, but I'm learning that it's not true.
You know, so I don't mind winging it. I think there's something to be said about the authenticity of just kind of going with the flow. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, there's cool.
On too, so.
Okay, cool. All right. So basically what I do is ask the same three, well, kind of four questions, and we just see where the conversation goes. And the last question is, what is your purpose? So if you know your purpose, try not to talk about it into the very last question, because we're just talking about all these other things surrounding your purpose. All right.
Okay.
All right. Cool. So the first question is, what does the word purpose mean to you?
What does the word purpose mean to me? The reason for waking up every day.
Okay.
That's what it means to me.
So that's interesting, because now I'm like, if I don't know my purpose, do I not need to wake up to find my purpose? Or if I'm not looking for my purpose, like, talk me through that. What is
that? I think that it means that, so either you're waking up and you know why you're waking up, or you're waking up trying to find out why you're waking up.
Okay.
And so that you obviously, I mean, I don't want you not to wake up, because then you would be dead. But
thank you.
It's the idea that I am getting out of the bed every day. I'm doing whatever I'm doing, and I'm not just marking time. I'm making some level of progress, and I am seeking to just be as productive as I need to be, but that productivity is for a reason. I think that a lot of times people who don't necessarily know their purpose are sometimes some of the busiest people that you ever want to meet, but their busyness is not fruitful. It doesn't matter for anything. You know, I admire people who can have like six or seven hustles going on at the same time, up until I recognize that those six or seven hustles aren't really going anywhere. It's just, I thought I would do this. I thought I would do that. I thought I would do this. But I was just always raised and taught that everything should have a means to an end. So if I'm doing four things today, those four things should be feeding the bigger purpose in my life of this, you know, one thing that I'm focused on, laser focused on getting done every single day of my life in some way. Now, the reality is, you know, you may do things and make a large step on Monday and make a very tiny step on Tuesday, but at least you're making a step versus just kind of marking time and being all in the same place. Maybe that, hopefully that.
No, that was good. So I, am interested in this busyness aspect. So you just say I could be doing four things in one day, right? So that means you're busy. But how would you characterize that versus the busy person that you were talking about earlier?
So again, if I'm doing four things in a day, I need to be particular to make sure that those four things in some way are feeding the larger purpose that's on my life. They all, how are they contributing to what I am on this earth for, or what I'm trying to accomplish overall? As opposed to I'm doing, you know, just four things because I need to be doing something, or, you know, I'm just out here just doing it. Like I know people who they're the most interesting people in the world because they've done a lot of different stuff. But then you look at the last 5 years of their life, and I don't mean to sound negative about it, but it's, so what have you really accomplished? What is it, where has this gotten you? Where has, you know, earning a degree, then coming out of college, and working as a DJ, starting a business, where has it gotten you, or has it been stuff that you've just done just to do it, and you have now not necessarily nothing to show for it in a physical sense, but how are you closer to really knowing what you're on this earth to do? And so I think that that's where the busyness of kind of sometimes the everybody's grind doesn't produce the same fruit. And we have to be careful that if we got to grind anyway, that we're grinding in a way where it produces fruit and that we're just not doing things. You know, I know people that, you know, they got 4 or 5 degrees maybe, you know, but it's like, so what are you now doing with it? How are you making a difference in the lives of others or even in your own life now? So
it's interesting that you say that, because I feel like you're talking about me. What you say? You cut out. What'd you say?
No, I'm not talking about you. No, I'm not talking about you at all. I was just saying.
I'm okay with it, because I actually have been having this conversation recently about my own purpose, and that I know that there are different aspects of it, but I always say, I always say I'm just out here in these streets, right? I'm just throwing seed and just hoping that something happens. But I do get what you're saying in that, but most of my seed are in the same vein, for the record. They're usually like, they look similar. But I do get what you're saying. I actually was thinking about that today, because I'm thinking about making a major shift later on. And like, I'm like a 10-year planner. So I'm like, in 10 years, I'll be doing this. And it's like totally different from what I'm doing now. And I was literally thinking today, like, what will people think when I'm like doing this thing that has nothing to do with anything else that I was doing? But I do think for me, I totally agree with what you're saying, but I do think that our purpose can change. Do you agree with that? Like, your purpose changes?
Absolutely. It can. Okay. It can. Here, quick example of that, quick story. So behind our house, my wife had this beautiful idea that she wanted to plant a garden. But this garden was really going to be like a bunch of like nice flowers that she could look at and be pretty and colorful and all of that. But she also wanted, in kind of a small section of the garden, to plant like some plants that would produce like vegetables, like cucumber. I think it was like some sage and some peppers or something, right? Here's what happened. So I do all this work in the middle of this summer, heat, all this kind of stuff.
And she appreciates you.
Yeah, she appreciates me. I plant all these beautiful flowers. So 75% of this garden are all these nice, colorful flowers, roses, all these different things of all these different colors, purple, red, yellow, all this stuff. This small section, we plant cucumber, we plant some peppers, like some bell pepper, and some sage. Here's what happened. As everything began to grow, it looked good, but then all of a sudden, the cucumber plant begins to grow and grow and just get longer, to where now the cucumber vines are completely covering all of the flowers and everything. And so at that point, we begin to realize, well, first of all, we didn't know that this cucumber, you know, bush or vine was going to grow like this. But now, while the cucumber plant was being productive, it was killing off all of the other flowers. And so now we had to say, you know what, it didn't make sense. Even though we, you know, tried it all, we put a lot of stuff out there, it didn't make sense to plant flowers with this type of a vegetable. So now we need to pull all these flowers up to give room for the thing that's really, you know, productive and producing something to be able to grow. And so, speaking to the fact that purposes can change, now this garden that was intended to be this nice, pretty thing for Krista to look at when she goes to sit on the back porch is now transformed to, this is something that we're going to have so we can have fresh vegetables and all that kind of stuff. And so, yes, there's something to be said about purposes changing, but also when we see that our purpose is changing, it's good to allow room for it to change freely and not begin to try to hold on to, well, this is what I thought was going to happen, or this is what I was looking for, because you could really kill everything in your garden if you don't move the stuff out of the way that may hinder growth for the real productive thing.
Don't kill everything in your garden, y'all.
Kill everything.
You don't get nothing else. You don't get nothing else. Don't kill nothing fake in your garden. No, that's good for real. That's a really good analogy. I think in this season of my life, I said I was going to do the podcast and answer the questions and have somebody ask me because I haven't done it. But in this season of my life, I think that's literally what's happening, is that like I'm literally just throwing in water and whatever sprout, you know, sprout. So I think that's a really good analogy. Thank you. I don't know where to go from there. Give me 1 second to gather my thoughts. That was really good. okay, here, this is a good question. So what would have happened, back to your analogy, if I did not remove the flowers, right? So I'm someone who's like, not me, but someone is like, no, this is my purpose. This is what I decided. This is what I'm going to do. And the world, COVID-19, right? The world around me has changed. But I'm still like, no, this is my purpose. This is what I'm meant to do. Like, what happens to the flowers? Like, what if Crystal was like, no, like, I want a flower garden, you know, what happened?
So I think that you would still get flowers. They just wouldn't be able to bloom to their maximum potential. You would still get flowers and we would still get some cucumbers, but we wouldn't get as many as we're getting now. There would be a limit on it. And so now you have a situation where you're kind of marginally good or having marginal good stuff instead of having one, you know, maybe two great things happening that you could say, this is what it's all about. And so, I mean, so the flowers were growing even for a while the cucumber plants was expanding. But what began to happen was the vine of the cucumbers began to wrap around the flowers. So the petals would break off. And so this beautiful thing that Krista envisioned wasn't really that. It was a bunch of just kind of jumbled up stuff. And so it's not to say that you can't have some level of production, but I guess the question that you have to ask yourself is, am I satisfied with, you know, some production, even though it's not maximizing or at its full potential? Or do I need to be willing to make room to say, I'm going to focus on just being a cucumber? And I'm going to give myself enough space to grow and to advance and to thrive in for as a cucumber versus trying to do, you know, have 10 or 12 different things going on. So,
but yeah, that makes sense. And that kind of goes back to your busyness that you talked about earlier. And I think it also talks about like energy, right? So like when you're doing, if you're trying to grow flowers and cucumbers at the same time, you can't really focus your energy totally on one or the other, right? Like you, and I get what you're saying, like in this busyness of like, I'm doing this, I have this degree, I'm doing this. Like you literally don't have a singular focus. And now your garden can flourish and the flowers aren't in demise because, you've created space for the cucumbers to grow and flourish. That makes sense. Thank you. All right.
I guess there is also something to be said about being willing to try things, but also accepting that when you try accepting when something doesn't work, when it's obvious that something is not a part of your purpose anymore or not what you're supposed to be doing, don't try to hold on to it. Because I've learned in my life, I'm able to appreciate the things that I'm good at by understanding the stuff that I'm bad at. But some of the stuff that I realized I was bad at was stuff I thought I would be great at. But now that I've recognized and accepted that's just not who I am, I can now go all in on the stuff that the Lord has revealed to me that I am supposed to be doing, that I am good at. And it gives me more of a focus, but it also makes me appreciate it more. Because one of the things I do, you know, see is that sometimes there are a lot of people who try to hold on to something that obviously they're not supposed to be doing. It ain't just people telling you you're not supposed to be doing. It is obvious because every time you've tried to do it, it just doesn't work. But, you know, you get the A for effort, and it's good that you tried it because, you know, you understand, because failure can help drive us to our purpose sometimes. And so it's just good to know that there's nothing wrong with trying different stuff, but when you realize that it's not for you, don't hold on to it. Just let it go and be willing to move on. So
when you started talking, first thing I thought about was what if it's my haters, quote unquote, right? What if they're the ones telling me, I don't think I have haters, for the record, but people who think this way, right? These are my haters. They're just trying to tell me not to do something. I guess my question is, because just because it's your purpose doesn't mean it's going to come easy, right? So because you're not naturally good at it, I mean, you have said the Lord has, you know, directed you, but for those of us who are just in these streets, right? How do you know, do you know the difference between let me work harder despite my haters, or let me release this and say, this just ain't for you, baby girl or right. baby boy?
I mean, that's a great question. And the reality is, if it's truly your purpose, what other people say or think about it won't matter. But also, if it's truly your purpose, if it's not going to be easy, but even in failure, there's a lesson that you'll learn where it, even failures become wins, in a sense. Okay, so yeah. when you're walking in purpose, yeah, you may not, it may not always be what you envision it to be, but there's something that you get out of it that's a positive versus everything just being a train wreck all the time. And I think that that's where it's a nuanced difference, but it is a difference, right? Because everyone who's trying to tell you that something isn't for you isn't hating on you. Sometimes people are really concerned. We can just be so hard-headed, so arrogant, so prideful, whatever we want to call it, to sometimes, to make ourselves feel better, mm-hmm. classify people as haters who are really trying to help us recognize this ain't for you. You know,
yeah.
I would love to be making hundreds of millions of dollars in the NBA, but that just ain't for me. And if somebody saw me on a basketball court and was like, hey, this ain't for you, they're not hating on me. They're telling me the truth.
You know? I've never seen you play basketball, but I want to now.
There's a reason. But if I just say, oh, well, they're hating and, you know, this, this, and that, even if I'm continuing to try, there's nothing, especially at this point, this age, this stage of my life, there's nothing that I can do short of the Lord coming down and just working a grand miracle that will get me in the NBA. Right. So why waste time doing that when I could be focusing on something else? Maybe I'm not destined to be a player on the court. Maybe I'm destined to be, you know, something behind the scenes where I'm working with players and all of those things. But if I'm so focused on everybody's hating on me and trying to tell me that I shouldn't be doing this, but the obvious product is always a train wreck, mm-hmm. then I'm really kind of delaying my own progress and studying my own growth, in a sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, when it comes to failures at Prosper Projects, the other business I own, I literally change the way we talk about failures. I don't even call them failures. I call them experiments. You try something, it didn't work, and we move on. Because when you internalize something as a failure, right, like you literally process it as I failed. Not that was a failure. I failed. So when I talk to clients, I'm like, no, you experimented. You tried something, it didn't work. Okay, cool. Now we know to move on. And I think changing your frame of mind of what a failure is and what it looks like changes everything, because we internalize a lot. We're just humans, right? So we'll say that was bad, therefore I am bad. No, that was just a bad situation, right? That doesn't mean you're a bad person. And I think when it comes to failures, especially when it comes to our purpose, like you can't, I mean, if you want to call them failures, it's cool. But just being able to transform that, right? Like people say, I turn my L's into W's or whatever people be saying. Changing the frame of mind, especially when it comes to your purpose. Because I think just because you're in purpose doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And I think that's why I want to talk about, like, when do I know that I should be fighting, or when I should let it go? Because I think people assume, well, I'm in purpose, so, right? Like, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to, if you're supposed to be a doctor, doesn't mean you can't study for the MCAT, right? Like, you have to do things to make sure that your purpose happens, right? You can't just wake up and say, I'm taking a bar exam today because I know I'm supposed to be a lawyer, and it worked out.
Right.
Yeah. Do you have anything else before we go to the next question?
No, I'm good.
Okay, cool. All right, the next question is, what fear do you associate with your purpose?
What fear do I associate? Mm-hmm. the fear of letting the people down that will be able to benefit from me walking in my purpose.
I've heard a lot of fears and I haven't heard that one. That's a good one. Okay. So my next question is always, how does this either hinder or push you towards your purpose?
I say it hinders me in the sense of, I think as with any fear, fear can be paralyzing sometimes because you can, I guess in my case, it's almost like I can psych myself out to believe that, well, if I never try to do it, then I never open the door for people to be let down. If I just don't try, then people won't never know that I let them down. So that can be the paralyzing part. I think the part that pushes me is the fact of recognizing that what I am convinced my purpose is, it has the ability to have impact on others. And so because it has the ability to have impact on others, the longer that I'm not doing it or the longer that I'm wasting time doing other things is time that is being missed or delayed in somebody else being able to be positively affected by it. You know, if my purpose is to be the greatest cook in the world, and this is not my purpose, right? To be a great chef. The longer I choose not to open the restaurant is the longer that people who've never had a great, you know, plate of macaroni will not get it. And that's a very simple example, but fill in the blank for whatever it is your purpose is. And the longer you're not doing that is a longer amount of time that people who need you to be who you are designed and purposed to be, they're not getting that. And how does it affect them? How do they miss out on something that they may need that may push them towards their purpose? And so that's a big fear of mine, is not being there for the people who I believe that God may be calling me to be there for. So,
so not specific to your purpose, but in general, because one of the things you said was, like in your example for the restaurateur, people don't get to eat their macaroni. Like, do you think that every purpose affects other people? Like, can my purpose only be for me?
As a believer, I would say no.
A believer, for my listeners, a believer in God. Okay. Yahweh. Christ Jesus. Okay.
I would say no. Simply because we're made to be people, we're designed to be people who live in community. Now, how we move in community is all different, but because we're designed to be people, we're not designed to just be, you know, hermits who are isolated and all to ourselves. That may be helpful for purposes of recharging and gaining energy or whatever. But if there's something that, you know, we're purposed to do, I just believe that that is something that is bigger than just us. So it has a greater impact on just us. Now, your purpose may not necessarily be for the masses that it is going to affect, but it may affect other family members, you know, your closest circle of friends, children, or whatever. And a purpose that only serves an individual person, me as an individual, what effect does it have other than, you know, because if I get super rich off of it, then it's just all my money. So that means that when I die, you know, does my money disappear? Does my net worth go away, or, you know, whatever? So there's some kind of effect, I believe, that our purpose will have on somebody. So I just, you know, believe that it's not just for me, whether directly or indirectly, it affects somebody else.
But Anthony, I'm fulfilled because I made all this money. So I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not trying to help nobody else. I'm not, you know, like, I think that people who believe that they're in purpose, right, would think that way. So what would you say to someone who was like, I don't know what this man's talking about?
I mean, again, I would just say that we're designed in direct and indirect ways to have an effect on other people. Again, as a believer in Christ, I don't believe that God gives us purpose, but also that God simply gives us gifts and talents just for ourselves. Those things are there to, first of all, bring him glory and honor him, But one of the best ways that we honor him is through how we are able to impact other people. And so for me to say, I'm doing this just for me and it's all for me and nobody else, what kind of life is that to live? Like, what, you know, what kind of, I mean, really just life is that to live where it's just all about me, is me focused, is me centered, and it has no effect on anybody else. But also, what talent do you have or what purpose do you have that's simply all about you? If I went to the NBA, yes, I'm making money, but I'm also providing entertainment and inspiration in some kind of way for somebody else. If I'm a great singer and that's my purpose, yeah, I can make money, but I'm also, again, entertaining or whatever for somebody else. If I am a doctor, yes, I'm smart and I have the ability as far as medicine, but I'm providing impact by helping to provide and facilitate, you know, health and wellness and healing for somebody else. And so it goes back again to whether I intend for it to it or not, there's some impact, whether direct or impact, that I believe is going to have on somebody else. So.
I think you are talking about me, but so I was thinking, cause you were like, well, I think now my next question is like the difference between talent and purpose, right? Because there are certain talents that I have that I don't really do anything with. So are we supposed to utilize all our talents? Am I just gifted because I'm gifted, right? Does everything have to align with your purpose is probably my question. Everything in your basket.
Yeah. I don't think all giftedness has to align with your purpose. I do think that gifts can be beneficial in helping you to achieve or get to your purpose. But there are certain people who, again, are, you know, gifted in certain areas, but their purpose or call to do something else that's totally it's different. And so some of the giftedness that they have may be a means to get them to a place of purpose, but as they begin to walk in their purpose, they may not do it anymore. You know, and I'm trying to find an example, but again, it's just sometimes there are talents that help us get in certain rooms, get through certain doors, be positioned in certain places, and now I can really walk in the purpose that I have. The idea of code switching, right? So being able to, you know, move in different environments and different rooms. Sometimes that's needed. I found this in my professional career. Sometimes it's necessary for me to code switch because I have to be able to have the conversation with the right people that can help be an advocate for me to get to the place I need to get to that will help me walk into my purpose, right? Now, you know, and sometimes the talent that is useful is me being engaging enough, articulate enough to be able to have a conversation to impress this person in this moment. So that now when my name comes up in a different situation, they can say, yeah, I remember that guy. I'm impressed by him. And that's it. That's a talent. Having the gift of gab or whatever you want to call it, right? That's a talent. That's a natural talent. Some people got it. Some people don't. But just because you got to have the gift of gab doesn't mean that everybody who can talk well should be a communicator or orator or whatever, right? And so, but sometimes there are those talents that are there that help to propel us to what our real purpose may be.
Okay, I'm still thinking about all my talents that I do nothing with, so we can move forward. Because I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. So the next question is, what's the one thing you should be doing that you aren't, and why aren't you?
The one thing I should be doing that I'm not. I should be coaching more leaders in a professional, more young Black leaders in a professional sense.
That's dope.
And the reason why I'm not is because I just get busy, man. Like, so part of it is I am working my job. I'm trying to do what I need to do on that. There's some level of selfishly trying to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do to advance. But also there's the aspect of ministry and everything that comes along with that, and then you add family on top of that. And so it's being intentional enough to find the time to actually do it and thinking outside of the bubble or the box that I'm thinking in now. And so I've been blessed to work for a couple of really good companies and get a lot of great experiences. But all those experiences have really just been experiences, because some of those have not been, I was always successful. I've made some mistakes and all those kind of things. But being able to be, I guess, exposed to being able to see behind the curtain on some things and some in an industry or in industries that are pretty predominant, I should be taking that knowledge to help other, you know, young Black leaders, aspiring Black leaders in the corporate sense, to learn how to navigate through and what really matters. Is it what's on the surface that really matters, or is it the soft skills behind the scene that will help you get from one place to another? And I'm just not doing that. I need to get with Prosper Projects to help me start a business to
come on over. So one thing, because I also am a believer, and one of the things that I am being challenged is, what is ministry? So I'm wondering, when you say, because you have separated, right, your job, your profession, your ministry, and your family. And I have a friend that I quote all the time that says, my life is ministry, right? He's like, everything I do is ministry. It flows out of me. So I'm wondering, this is just me offering, if we switch their mindset of me having these conversations with these people is my ministry, you know? Yeah. And like, because to me, it's going to benefit so many different people, right? And the point of ministry is to bring the truth, right? And if we are believers, truth flows through us. So you just dropped so many things that are biblical, right, in this conversation, because it flows out of you. And I'm learning in my, we had a conversation about my dating, in my different areas of my life, right, of how these things can be used to minister to other people. So that's just me thinking of, like, you can do this, right? If you stop changing mindsets, right, say, well, maybe this is a part of my ministry. I don't have nowhere else to go with it. It was just me offering something, because I think that.
That is good. That's a great perspective, and probably one I need to take. I tend to compartmentalize a lot formal ministry and my professional vocation, simply because I take on the attitude, whether right or wrong, and it can be wrong sometimes, that yes, God has put me in a great position, and there are things and times where it definitely has crossed over and overlapped. But I joke all the time that I literally just work to get the check and all that, and have good health insurance so that I can, you know, not have as many worries on the side of ministry. Yeah. The reality is, I find more and more that when I'm having conversations that are supposed to be professional work type conversations, or trying to encourage people who are ready to quit because they're tired of dealing with people, or they're tired of dealing with the frustrations of work, that a lot of the principles that I share with them are really kind of ministering, you know, spiritual type principles. And it's just, I'm like, look, don't quit because you're good and I need you on my team and, you know, all that kind of
thing. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I like to think, like, I'm moving towards, what does it mean for my life to be ministry? Right. And my friends say I never meet a stranger, right? I'm always talking to somebody out in the street and having, because I be in the street, and having conversation. Just like, what does that look like for the truth to flow out? I think that's just really what I keep coming out. It keeps coming into my mind, is what does it mean for truth to flow out? So that's my challenge to you, which I've never done, but welcome to the podcast, to think about, like, because I just know that so many people be blessed by that. Like, so many young people that are struggling, because even me, like when you said that, I was like, talk to me. I don't know what I'm doing. like would be blessed by having just one conversation about navigating the corporate world and like what that looks like, because your girl need help, okay? I was just like, man, like, that's dope. Like, a lot of people, yeah, I just know a lot of young people that are trying to figure it out. So anyway, that's all I got. And the last question is, what is your purpose?
Above everything else, I'm convinced that my purpose is to glorify God by inspiring others to more, in the sense of more from a spiritual sense, recognizing that we aren't just put on this earth to, you know, be simply good people or get all that we can get and then we die, but recognize that, you know, there's somewhere that you're going to go after, after you die. And so how are you preparing yourself for that? And how are you positioning yourself for that? As a pastor, preacher, obviously positioning yourself for that is, you know, recognizing the brokenness of who we are, establishing a relationship with God, who is the only one that can take our brokenness and make us whole, and then honoring him with the talents that he gives us or the purpose that he gives us. But also it is helping people to aspire for more in the sense of being a guy from Mississippi who grew up, you know, in pretty humble means, all those kind of things, recognizing that where I start doesn't necessarily have to be where I finish. Not just in a spiritual sense, but also in a very kind of physical and professional relational sense. A lot of times what I see is that people accept the status quo for just that. That's their end all be all, is where I am right now. And so when they have those experiences where things don't turn out the way that they think they should, or they felt like they should, one or two negative experiences causes them to shut down forever. And recognizing that there's something that to be learned in every experience. I'm still in your perspective, and so I'm not saying failure anymore, but I've learned in every experience. But also recognizing that you could have 25 negative experiences, but all it takes is one positive experience to change your life forever. And sometimes we give up on the opportunity to have our next experience be a positive one because we're still thinking about the dozens of experiences before that one. But again, all it takes is one good thing to happen to erase all the bad thing in your life. And that's not luck. That's not karma. That's really being intentional about saying, I'm not going to allow my past to prevent me from seeking a better future. And so I know that that's what my purpose is, because that's what I do all day. I'm supposed to be doing something totally different on my job. And a lot of times people are walking in and is, oh, well, I would do this, but because of X, Y, and Z, I can't. No, why? Well, tell me why you can't. You actually can. And so I do see, I guess, in a lot of ways, God providing opportunities for me to walk in that purpose in every area of my life, from a spiritual sense in ministry, but also from a professional sense, or just in a random, in the neighborhood, walking and having a conversation with a neighbor, sometimes those things come up. And so that's what I find the most joy in. That's what I find. That's what I'm energized by. And so I know that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So, yeah.
Good. I need to start taking better notes. I'll just be listening and coming up with questions, then I forget them. But the one that I keep, that I thought about first, well, last, is, so your purpose should energize you. Is that to say that you don't get tired, or how do you balance all that?
I definitely get tired. And there are times where I need to kind of recharge. I'm very much an extroverted person, but in that, if I'm, you know, doing so much, then there are times where I just need to be, you know, recharged. But one of the things that I do find is that there are times where I want to just be like, I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to deal with anybody or whatever. And a random conversation will come up. You know, random phone call, random situation. And I do find that even in me being, you know, at a point where I just want to disconnect for a while, the right type of connection can energize me more than me just sitting on my couch doing nothing all day or not talking to anybody. It happened 2 weeks ago. Like literally on a Saturday, I wanted to do nothing. I didn't want to be bothered. But I got a phone call and was helping, you know, just kind of somebody randomly, an old friend, talk through some stuff. And after that, there was something encouraging about trying to help them work through their stuff that energized me to where after that conversation, I was productive enough to work on some other stuff, or I was engaged enough or focused enough to work on some other stuff. And so, again, that helps me to validate the fact that that is a part of my purpose, is helping other people kind of, you know, strive for more. Because even in moments where I don't want to. If I do, then it gives me that push that I need to keep going and keep doing more myself.
I was going to ask that, does it propel you forward when you are in your purpose? But you said it gives you that push. So, all right then, Mr. Anthony. So my last, I always say I have three questions, but I really have five. So the last question, what you say?
It's been about six, but I ain't sure.
And we appreciate you. My last real question is, if we get nothing else, there we go, from your podcast, what do you want people to leave with?
If we get nothing else from this, how is your purpose affecting somebody else?
Okay. There you have it, everybody.
With whatever, whatever it is you're doing, how does it affect somebody else? And if it's not, is it really your purpose?
Now, don't be asking double questions.
No, it's the same question. It's just two different. How is it impacting somebody else? And if it's not impacting somebody else, is it really your purpose?
Okay. All right, y'all, there you have it. So you need to ask yourself those questions. What are your questions again? One more time.
How does your purpose impact somebody else? And if it's not impacting anyone else, is it really your purpose?
All right, there you have it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Purpose Podcast featuring Anthony Miller. I hope you enjoyed our conversation on decluttering your garden, and you remember to ask yourself this week, does my purpose help other people? We'll see you next week.
I've been thinking, how do the lost get found when they don't know where to go? And I've been shaking. Not many more twists and turns before I find the road. And I've been hoping for sunrise. I heard the dawn of hope can even light the way home. Just give me sunrise. There is a myth that when you're in the mist, you can't ever feel cold. You can't ever feel cold.